My name is Patricia Kathleen, and this podcast series will contain interviews I conduct with female and female-identified entrepreneurs, founders, co-founders, business owners, and industry gurus. These podcasts speak with women and women-identified individuals across all industries in order to shed light for those just getting into the entrepreneurial game, as well as those deeply embedded within it. Histories, current companies, and lessons learned are explored in the conversations I have with these insightful and talented powerhouses. The series is designed to investigate a female and female-identified perspective in what has largely been a male-dominated industry in the USA to date. I look forward to contributing to the national dialogue about the long overdue change of women in American business arenas, and in particular, entrepreneurial roles. You can contact me via my media company website, wild.agency, that's wilde.agency, or my personal website, patriciakathleen.com. Thanks for listening. Now let's start the conversation. Hi, everyone, and welcome back. This is your host, Patricia, and today I am so excited to be sitting down with Tia Levine and Angela Griffiths. They are both with ACTRI. Tia is the Director of Operations, and Angela is the Director of Research Communications. A quick bio, ACTRI provides infrastructure and support for basic translational and clinical research throughout the San Diego region, expedites the translation of discoveries into therapies, and facilitates the training and education of the next generation of researchers. Their aim is to facilitate the training of tomorrow's research and the expansion of clinical trials while adding a community voice to the direction and application of such research. A very quick bio on Angela and Tia before I welcome them officially. Tia came on board at the ACTRI in early December. She had previously been in human resources, where she managed a large team and led key process improvement initiatives that have been a positive impact on UC San Diego Health, the School of Medicine, and the Skagg School of Pharmacy and Pharmaceutical Sciences. Prior to joining UC San Diego in 2013, Tia served as the business officer of the Instructional Development Department at UC Santa Barbara for 9 years, where she managed all financial, recharge, and administrative functions and served as liaison to faculty across campus. Angela Griffiths. Angela joined the ACTRI in 2015 as a grant writer for the NIH NCATS CTSA grant submission that was successfully awarded and is now in its fifth year. One of the largest federally funded institution grants received at UCSD, this award provides funding for clinical and translational research, designating UCSD as a prestigious CTSA hub. Prior to working at ACTRI, Angela was with the UCSD CME office for 5 years and in the private sector at the Neuroscience Education Institute for 2 years, where she managed all content, marketing, and grants across various medical disciplines. So welcome, Tia and Angela.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm so excited to drop in with all of your information regarding a little bit of your background, as well as kind of unpacking what ACTRI is for all of our listeners. It's a wonderful organization. I'm excited to get into it. Really quickly, our roadmap for this podcast today, for everyone listening, we're going to get into Tia and Angela's academic backgrounds. Then we will cover their current positions and history therein at ACTRI, and then we will drop straight into unpacking ACTRI in as much as what its mission is, how it works, kind of the different factions involved in it and why it was developed. As well as we'll then kind of switch gears and go into the goals that it has for the next 3 years. I know that there's grants that we need to talk about and all of the changing horizons involved with some of the financials. And then we'll wrap everything up with advice that Tia and Angela have regarding people who want to get involved on any of the levels at ACTRI. So let's start off with Tia. Can you drop us into your academic background and professional history following that?
Sure. So I consider myself to be a University of California lifer. I went to UC Santa Barbara as an undergraduate and studied what was called at the time law and society, which was really pre-law and sociology. and was fortunate enough to learn that I did not wish to go to law school, but I love the academic environment. And so I continued working there after I graduated and spent several years there as an administrator for a department that served the entire campus, which I really enjoyed. I liked being a part of multiple organizations, being able to work with different faculty across different disciplines. And when I relocated to UC San Diego for family reasons, I started working in human resources because it was an opportunity that came up that was very promising to me, especially because it was part of the School of Medicine, which was really of interest. So I served all of the departments in the School of Medicine, including the one that I work for now, which is the Altman Clinical and Translational Research Institute. So I was very familiar with the kind of work that was done here and the leadership and the faculty that were affiliated and the staff. And so when the opportunity came up to be the director of operations here, I was really excited because I had very much longed to work here and to be a part of it. So I transferred over about a year ago and have been kind of thrilled to be here, and I kind of categorize it as my dream job. I get to go home and tell my kids that, you know, we're doing amazing science and helping people get better and finding ways to improve the quality of life for patients across the country, across the world, really. And it's really been a pleasure to be here. It's exciting and it's challenging, but it is exactly what I want to be spending my time doing. So I'm very thrilled to be at that point in my career after 20 years to have selected something that is exactly what I want to be doing.
That's awesome. And this building alone has that kind of energy. I've told a lot of people that it's really exciting. So Angela, will you take us back through your academic background and professional life thereafter?
Yes, definitely. So I actually have a PhD in health psychology, which I do not utilize at all in terms of subject matter. Yeah. However, I have found it very beneficial given the fact that a lot of that was research-based. So I was able to jump into grant writing, and I enjoyed just essentially English in general, grammar, all of that. So it made the writing process fun for me. So I started there, mostly as a grant writer for the Continuing Medical Education Department, which you mentioned previously, which is also on campus, and utilized the medical knowledge that all of the content experts gave me, and then got to turn that into grants and projects that were understandable by a wide variety of audiences, so from the general public all the way up to other colleagues and physicians. And Dr. Feierstein, Gary Feierstein, the director here, found me there when he was in need of a grant writer for the big grant that you mentioned. So I got brought over more as a contract employee and then stayed because of him. He's a wonderful supervisor and leader. And so I was doing grant writing for the CTRI for several years, and we just recently kind of created this new research communications position, which is really exciting. So I can do a little bit more of the social media side of things, marketing, advertising, making a lot more people aware of the CTRI and what we have to offer.
That's cool. Yeah, I had never thought about that, but social media would change grant writing, I
absolutely
think, a great deal. It, for me, it would zhuzh it up a bit.
Yes.
But that comes from my very narrow and not so positive view always of grant writing. But
we were
just talking before the podcast, you're turning me over to a new leaf here.
Attempting, yes, yes. Grant writing is very technical. So I actually find it really enjoyable to be able to use the other side of writing and that more slightly more creative, more unique, kind of off the wall thinking that you need to you know, vamp up your social media efforts. And so it's kind of a good mix of both worlds.
I love it. And social media is not just for Jenny and Bobby, you know, it affects all forms. I really feel like some people overlook how much it's seeped into all forms of business, academia.
Absolutely, it is a really important way to get a lot of that information out there, and people are using it. So, you know, to reach a wider audience, both of the community and the physicians and researchers that we serve, is huge.
Right. So. And also, as you mentioned, I neglected. I've been dropping into acronym heaven here. And so ACTRI stands for Altman Clinical and Translational Research Institute.
Yes.
And it's headquartered in San Diego, California, on the campus of UCSD. Okay, well, fantastic. Let's get straight into unpacking ACTRI. So can you guys speak to let's start with the architecture of what it is and the different components within it.
Absolutely.
So I will literally speak to the architecture of our new building, which is kind of exciting, and it's actually speaks to the mission of the grant, which is to bring researchers together that may not normally interact. So it's really about cross-disciplinary interaction. We have designed a building where somebody can literally get up from their wet lab where they're looking at specimens, walk over to their biostatistical research office and do analysis of that information, and maybe be sitting right next to somebody who's doing a different type of science that they normally wouldn't sit next to. So that was part of why the building was literally designed. Mm-hmm. And then the grant itself is actually, like you talked about, it's kind of the bench to bedside concept. So the idea is, how do we get these devices, therapies, drugs in some cases, to our patients sooner? How do we make them better sooner? And the National Institute of Health has given us the funding to promote that mission. And the ACTRI is set up with a variety of different components, which I'll let Angela explain, a variety of different components to speak to that mission and figure out how best we can train researchers to do this research better, faster, with more information, more cross-collaboration. How can we get the intelligence that we have in our team and our building out to researchers to facilitate what they're doing? Mm-hmm. And how can we get more people to participate in the trials? And that's another piece that we work very closely with the community, because you can have the best idea, but if you don't have the person with the exact right type of disease, disorder, mm-hmm. or whatever we're trying to cure, and they're not here, or we don't know how to reach them, we can't facilitate that into getting the kind of trial that we need to help people. So that's another faction of kind of what we do with our outreach to the community.
Right. Yeah. So building on that, we have a big community engagement section. And so their mission is to reach both community as increasing research volunteers and participants, in addition to making investigators and clinicians aware of what the CTRI can do for them for their studies. So we kind of have two arms of populations that we're looking to reach, and some of the services that we have are geared more toward the researchers, some are geared more toward the participants. We've got a lot of exciting, fun, new ways to reach those participants. There's different services called Trial Quest, Trial Finder, the TIN Network, we've got Research Match, all of these things going on that help connect the clinician to the participant. And as Tia mentioned, then we also have housed within our building things like the CCBB, which is the Center for Computational Biology, and we've got the wet labs, the dry labs. Essentially, the clinic downstairs is also new, which has all kinds of space and availability, phase one studies that can be done there, sleep studies can be done there, labs, everything. And so we've tried to break down any silos in research and bring everyone.
It's really together. Cool. I mean, it's the first time I personally have heard of kind of this one-stop shopping, you mm-hmm. know, with, you know, being able to be matched to at least the possibilities from resources like you're talking about into even like sitting and having offices next to people who either are like-minded or not like-minded. Mm-hmm. And I know that we spoke earlier about this, but Tia, can you speak a little bit to, we talked a little bit about this kind of cross-pollination that happens even mm-hmm. with the geography, people you might not come into contact with, mm-hmm. and how that kind of bolsters some of the studies and the information being shared.
Yeah, it's really exciting. I think the idea is that it's going to spark some kind of creativity and collaboration that you might not normally have. And mm-hmm. so if you look at the wide variety, there's about 18 departments within the School of Medicine doing everything from neurosciences to fatty liver disease. You know, we have a variety of different types of science and studies and people that we're training to be the future doctors. And they may not normally go outside of their department. So this place is actually established to facilitate that. And so somebody might just naturally be sitting next to somebody and, you know, hear, tell me a little bit more about that. You know, what are you working on this week? Just for the sheer virtue of sitting next to them. And the way that it's set up to use our resources. So we have some things like Angela had mentioned, you know, we have all these different resources here, and there's a big infrastructure of kind of different computer systems that the researchers use that interact with the medical record systems and interact right. with the hospital. We're literally sitting across the street from the hospital, which is exciting. Right. And it's very unique. Across the country, you don't necessarily find a clinic like this that is sitting right within a hospital, and we have our patients right over there that we're hoping to help.
And it's, yeah. I mean, it's magnificent. You know, I don't really get blown away by, I think, that all medical and newly built things, but it's a 7-story. It's this, the kind of this great mm-hmm. structure mm-hmm. that yes. is facilitating all of these things. So Angela, can you kind of walk us into acronyms, barring too many confusing ones, but with the grant that ACTRI is on and what, how many rounds you've gone through with it, or however you speak to that with grants?
Right, so I was brought on board for essentially the second round. They received their initial funding in 2010, and it's a 5-year grant cycle. So this is from NIH, kind of broken down into what they term the CTSA, which is the Clinical and Translational Science Award. So it's given to, I think currently there are about 50 hubs around the country who have received this type of funding to do this type of work. So our mission and our goal across these campuses is the same, which is to, you know, engage researchers, investigate into how to improve translational science, get those discoveries back to the patient bedside, essentially, and how to do it well. So it's process improvement, it's fixing policies and procedures, it's improving the timelines for things like mm-hmm. IRB, which is institutional review boards, you know, working with the researcher to get their study submitted, get that approved, you know, and get going on their research quicker, more effectively. That is all part of the mission of the CTSA grant, which comes down from NIH, so therefore it becomes the CTRI's mission in serving our population.
Right, and then so just really quickly, the NIH is the National Institute of Health.
Yes.
Got you.
And we actually have 5 academic medical centers within the University of California, and they all have CTSAs. Mm-hmm. And part of what we do is work very closely. Dr. Firestein is the lead on kind of the collaboration with the other academic medical centers. So UCSF, UC Davis, yes. UCLA, and UC Irvine, I think that's yes. all of them. We work really closely. Sometimes the clinical trials go across campuses, across locations. And part of what we do is collaborate with them to find best practices mm-hmm. and figure out how we can all kind of learn from each other to keep promoting that mission. So they all have a very similar CTSA award.
Exactly, yeah, which really helps, because there may be a researcher here at our campus who's looking for, as you mentioned, you know, a specific disease state or patient who's, you know, having that issue, and we can then go out to these other UC campuses and say, hey, do you have, you know, this kind of population? Here's a researcher who's looking for them, and match people up that way as well.
Yeah, I think collaboration is key too, not just to expedite, you know, timelines and things like that, but for the powerfulness of the research obtained mm-hmm. on mm-hmm. all levels. So that's really cool that you guys have that kind of bed of pods to draw from. Can you cite like a couple of interesting studies being done, or actually let me back up. I want to go back really quickly to the grant process. Where are you in that stage? You say it's a 5-year cycle. Where is ACTR right now?
Sure. So the initial funding was given in 2010. We did what was considered a resubmission in 2015, which was also successful. That now is in its 5th year. And what we've done up to date is to submit another essentially extension of that grant, a resubmission, for the next 5 years. So we are actually in the waiting place, as Dr. Seuss would say. We are waiting to hear on the NIH criterion scoring and the funding that we'll be receiving in the future.
So exciting.
Yes.
I'm sure it will go through, but the waiting period, everyone has to go through this, you know, competition,
yes.
application, even the highest of the high. So now let's drop back into what I was referring to before. Are there a couple of specific companies that kind of exemplify that you guys have that you can describe? You don't have to call them out by name, but so that kind of exemplifies the reach of what ACTRI has under its purview right now.
Yeah, I mean, one of our big partnerships is with Pfizer. We have a lot of sponsored studies that go through different, different agencies. You know, we live in San Diego, right? Mm-hmm. So this is a big biotech city. So there's a lot of different partnerships that we do have, and we try and utilize that and take advantage of it because it does actually help the mission. So, you know, some of the things that we are not able to do when we make these industry partnerships, it actually promotes exactly what we're trying to do. So that's an exciting thing about physically being in San Diego and having these partnerships with these larger organizations. So we have a partnership with Qualcomm as well, mm-hmm. that's been very successful. So it goes into different branches that you may not necessarily expect. Mm-hmm. But there's everything from the actual pharmaceutical companies to the technology that we need. And they need us, and it's really exciting because it's literally symbiotic, and it's one of the things that they promote within their organizations, and we take advantage of it in the most positive way.
So. Right. Yeah. Exactly. And so you mentioned Qualcomm. There's competitions and fun activities that we have designed that can match our UCSD faculty with these external companies, and then their goal is to create something, and whether it's a new device or like a new drug therapy or something, that we then can utilize the CTRI services to help research, investigate, determine if what they're looking at is going to be an effective therapy that then can be brought out to the public. So one of the things that we can do is utilize our project management service, which is something that will help someone from the start of a study to the end of a study. And for someone who may be new to the UCSD faculty or new to research in general, directing them to our website and our resources. We have a new one that's coming out, Compass, which is something that we try to get all of the resources in one spot so they can find it on the website and know, okay, here's step one, here's step two, here's how I get to step 10. And as the CTRI, one of the things we provide for them is a project management service. And so we can help them get from point A to point B.
Yeah, it can be convoluted, I imagine, across and variable, depending on who's coming in. Can you speak a little bit more to the UCSD faculty affiliation requirement for coming on to ACTRI?
Right. So UCSD faculty are the main population that we support. They are the ones that we are here for. We require that a faculty member be a UCSD CTRI member. Free of charge, of course, but essentially we want to know what department they work for, what their research is geared toward, and once we have them in our system, they can then come to us for requests for what we call letters of support. So any grant application that's going in will typically require several letters of support from universities, organizations, companies that are essentially saying, yes, we support this research, these are the services will provide, for this researcher. And so that's what we can do for our UCSD faculty as one thing. Then once a project is approved and funded, the other services we provide are on the post-award end in terms of we can then help them with their biostats, as Tia mentioned. So they do their research, they come to us and they say, help me interpret this data. Mm. We've got the clinic where they can be conducting the research. Right. And then we've also got, as I mentioned, the project managers who can just essentially help take them through the process itself. So. Those are the things that we do for the faculty members. And then if the faculty member has someone that they're working with, that person is also covered under that umbrella.
Right. So if someone was involved in a startup or something and felt like the ACTRI would have a great deal of resources for them, finding a faculty member and getting involved with them and seeing if they would like to join and collaborate resources would be probably the way to go.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Do you guys have a directory of faculty representations and things like that people could kind of shop, or is it just UCSD at large?
Yeah, there's what's called UCSD profiles, and you can look by certain research areas of expertise. Mm-hmm. Not all of the UCSD faculty are participants, but most of them are listed there. It's just a matter of how much detail they provide, but it actually shows the research that they've been doing. There's a keyword search where you can actually literally look by a disease, a type mm-hmm. of specialty. So that's something that's actually UC-wide as well. Mm-hmm. So I think it's literally ucsdprofiles.edu. Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we support here. And it's actually really interesting. Sometimes I'll get off the phone with somebody and just kind of go look in and be like, oh, that's what they do,
Yeah.
It's kind of exciting and interesting to see, or you can see the path of their career, what they started to do. And at the end, you're like, oh, that's what they, you know, how it wove into whatever it is that they're doing now. So sometimes I look at it just to, it's just kind of fun.
It is.
Yeah, UCSD Profiles is one of the best ways to kind of identify what research is affiliated with certain faculty members.
Mm-hmm. And networking is awesome that way too, through like the different profiles and histories. People's biographies can often make for some wonderful connections kind of unknown of before.
Yes.
Okay, well, that's fantastic. And I think most people who would be, you know, when I talk about startups, you know, qualified to be using your resources and things like that, they're going to come from an academic background. Mm-hmm. However, getting affiliated with UCSD, like, I think that's a great way to go in case you're not from here and you need to kind of get your feet wet in that pool. So let's move to the future of ACTRA. Can either of you speak in both of your perspective formats as to what the idealistic next 3 to 5 years looks like?
Yeah, so ideally we continue doing the great work that we're doing with additional funding. I think one of the things that the Chancellor has been very supportive of here at UCSD is expanding clinical trials in general. Mm-hmm. So not just having additional clinical trials here so that we can address different types of, you know, diseases, issues, therapies, but also having additional participants. So one of the things that we're working on in the next 5 years, I would say, or three, right, and today, is how do we get more people here? How do we get more people involved? How do we get more people either to La Jolla or to some satellite locations? Mm-hmm. We do have a partnership with the San Diego Blood Bank, which is kind of exciting, where participants could actually go to one of their satellite locations, not just one of their you know, blood buses or but
bloodmobiles.
Bloodmobiles. Yeah. But they also have locations that are a wider footprint than just necessarily coming to La Jolla to participate in a trial. So we're looking for other opportunities like that to seek out folks that may not necessarily be physically close to us, but may benefit from us helping them. So that's one of the ways that we're looking at expanding more more research and having more participants come to us or come to somewhere closer to us.
Right.
So that's exciting.
Yeah, exactly, which is kind of why we created the research communications position, because we had the foresight, you know, to know that the goal is to make these increases in both, you know, clinical trials as well as participants. And one way to do that, like we mentioned previously, is that social media marketing. And I would say that's probably something that hasn't been a major focus of the CTRI in previous years. And so the goal is to really increase awareness of in the community about the fact that we are here, that, you know, what we do, what we can provide, both for the participants and for the investigators. So
right, and I think that is a crucial point as well to kind of hit on. You know, you do a lot of matchmaking in between once someone kind of falls under this umbrella, but participants can contact and find out if there are applicable studies and things like that with ACTRI.
Yeah, absolutely. We're definitely a great starting point for that, and then we can direct them to resources that help. You know, there's clinicaltrials.gov, and there's specific UCSD websites that list out all of the studies that are being conducted here currently. And, you know, we've got that community engagement staff that can help a potential research volunteer figure out where they might fit in.
Right, okay, and I have, just quickly for everyone listening, I have the website for, well, I think searching ACTRI San Diego will help you pull it up, but the website I have is medschool.ucsd. Is that the right one?
Mm-hmm. Yes, you can also put in ctri.ucsd.edu. Okay.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. And it'll pull it up. And your website has a very expansive overview of, you know, all of the information, the different facets offered. So it is a great starting place for people reaching out. Is there any change in the structure or outreach? I mean, we talked about, you know, getting, collecting data and all of those types of things and expanding that type of thing and getting those representations larger. But is there any other, are there new facets or projects being started? Is there a new wing opening up? You guys expanding this huge building? Is there anything
not
like that?
Physically. Not physically. I did get the number the other day that we have 200 active trials today going on right now in the clinic, which is really exciting. And some of them are run through us and some of them are run through other departments. But I think it's just continuing to grow and use that clinic every minute of every day. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of things that involve fasting and things like that. So we have a very heavy impact in the morning. So we're trying to figure out other ways to utilize the clinic different hours. So physically, I think we're just trying to get more and more people involved and get more and more trials going here at UCSD.
Is there a cap amount? I mean, 200 seems like a lot. How many do you think you could have? 1,000?
you know what? It could be 200 where they need to be looked at every week. It could be 200 where we only see them every 6 months. It just, everyone is literally different. So no, there's no cap. The sky's the limit.
Exactly, yes. And then building those tools that help with the actual physical conduction of these studies. So things like HealthDAT, which is a fairly new resource that we have, a website tool where you can find, you know, the various populations and the disease states in those specific areas. And we're focusing on San Diego County. And so broadening those kinds of research tools as well.
Right. So with ACE, let's take it in two different sections. Normally when I move on to advice, we have like this third person in the room named ACTRI in addition to the two of you. And so speaking specifically to ACTRI, if someone wanted to get involved, is it on the website? If someone was thinking that'd be great to work there in some capacity, is there a careers section on there, or would they just contact your department?
Well, not on the CTRI website is there a career section. However, we are part of UCSD, so going to the UCSD job career site would be the way to go in that respect. Getting just basic information about the CTRI or how to become a member if they're a UCSD faculty, that kind of thing, that is all on our website.
Yeah, and jobs.ucsd.edu is where all of our positions are listed throughout the school.
Yeah, or you develop your own, like Angela.
Yes.
Join and find your own. So Tia, let's start with you. If a young woman walked up to you very recently and said, I graduated from UCSB, I think I really want to get into the School of Medicine, Life Sciences realm in some way, what would be your top three pieces of advice to
I would say,
your path?
Yeah, I would say the main thing is to follow what interests you. You know, there's all kinds of opportunities. The University of California has 200,000 employees. You can find something that interests you. So I think that you're always going to be more successful when you follow a path that is intriguing and interesting. So I would say that's the first thing. And certainly keep networking and branching out, because you're going to meet that person that you want to work for. And maybe you don't necessarily know what the work is, but in this situation, I honestly came here to work for Eric and Dr. Firestein. So Eric Moss, our assistant dean, I would work for him anywhere on the planet. This happens to be my dream job, but it's one of those things where you seek out people that you respect and that you respect their careers and you respect the choices that they've made. And I think that networking piece of finding people that you want to work with is huge, because that will keep you engaged every day, no matter what the type of work is, because sometimes what we do is a little mundane. You know, I've been a research or, you know, some kind of administrator for the university for 20 years, and sometimes it's not that exciting. But you hang up that phone and you look at what you're supporting and what that kind of data entry or some of the more challenging things that we do is supporting, and it just sparks your fire every day. So I would say, again, just continue to do things that interest you, because you're never going to go wrong.
Yeah,
exactly. And I think, too, you know, like we kind of mentioned before, simply getting into UCSD is fantastic. And, you know, they're about longevity of the employee, which is wonderful. And so, like Tia, you know, I started in a different department, and I found my way here again for Dr. Firestein. You know, working for people who you love to work for is just fantastic. And then taking those opportunities that may or may not present themselves, maybe you create it yourself, but just to say, hey, I'd really like to do this, or I'd really like to do that, and voicing it, I think, is huge. And you know, finding those people that support something new and something innovative is key. And there seem to be quite a few of those at UCSD, which is really great. And then I think just continuing to broaden your own knowledge base. I find that I never get sick of researching something new. So if I have a researcher that comes to me and says, oh, I need help with my grant, it's on, you know, XYZ, and I know nothing about it, I will always hang up the phone and go figure out what that was and then research it, which is really, that's really fun. And it just keeps you up to date and current. So I think to...
Yeah, absolutely. Having something new to stimulate and, you know, and being a part of something that makes a difference, as Tia was saying as well.
Right.
Angela, you've had the privilege of working in both the private and public or academic sector. And I don't know if we covered that in depth in this particular podcast, but when you made that transition over as a writer, as a grant writer, and now as a communications, you know, developer, what are some of the key differences that you can speak to in that route, and maybe some beacons of light?
The private sector was nice. I enjoyed it. It was very independent. It was the company that I worked for was founded by one particular influencer in the neurosciences, and so it was essentially following his vision, and it was great, and I learned so much about psychopharmacology. Was mostly the content there, but moving to the academia side of things and more of the public service type, I've actually found that I've had a lot more engagement with people, a lot more engagement with people who I may not have interacted with in the private sector.
Yeah.
As a private sector employee, we were very focused on what we were doing, which worked really well, and they did it well. But coming here, there's a much broader vision, and so I think that it's to me a bit more rewarding to be part of something bigger.
Yeah, and it's universities at large, I think you're right, are completely collaborative, and then ACTRI seems to have even embellished that, you know, even more. It's kind of zooped it up with a whole bunch of communications across all platforms and people and industries. I think that's a really fascinating point. So I always like to end with a bird's eye view into your life. What is, Tia, let's start with you. Today is Thursday. What are you looking forward to doing most this weekend?
Seeing my stepdaughters who live in Arizona and having all four kids together and just having the wild, we call it herding cats, and they're my favorite thing to do. So.
Yes,
and getting my cast off, frankly, next week. So I have a broken foot.
Yeah. Yeah. You get to walk again.
I do.
More scooters. Yes, no more scooter. I don't know. That's been enjoyable around the office, I have to say.
Angela, what are you looking forward to most?
Yes. So my son plays lacrosse, so we've got fun lacrosse games and guitar classes, and we've got a trip to the San Diego Safari Park for my wife's birthday.
Oh, nice. Yes. So you get to see a cheetah race a dog.
Exactly.
And that was what I remember from
That's the highlight.
Lacrosse is major in San Diego, too. Well, I want to thank you guys so much for sitting down today and kind of opening up the labyrinth and fascinating universe of ACTRI. I really appreciate you guys sharing the information.
Thank you. Yes, it was
wonderful. Our pleasure, literally.
Absolutely.
Awesome. We're going to circle back around. I'm going to find these women again next year and find out about some of the changes that have happened and catch up with you guys again, because this building is too cool. I'm just going to start having coffee in your living room.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Everyone, thank you for listening. And until I speak again with you next time, remember to always belt on yourself. Slut check.